Well, good evening to each one of you. It's good to see your faces. I think the groundwork was laid by our brother this morning concerning the topic, faith. I hope to put some meat around the bone and maybe make some sense out of what that means and some of the scriptures that go along with it. And actually, what I do is try to use some figures that have come out of the scriptures, people, who had their faults and stuff, but by having faith and trust in the Lord, that they were able to overcome it. And we can see those evidences in there. So the first scripture verse, you can find it in Hebrews 11:1, and deals with faith. Faith, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, I know when we read our scriptures, a lot of times we just zoom through it and then we go to the next verse and it talks about the creation was created by the Word of God and then it gives you some examples. But really, I want to go deeper. I want to help you to be able to have something to stand on to understand what that faith is and what the Lord is looking for in our own lives. Our brother this morning kind of went into that, dealing with relationships, and that is a good foundation from where I'm going to take it tonight. You can ask my wife. I kept saying, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. How do I get that in my brain and to be able to see what I'm reading? I have to see it. I have to know the mechanics of it, because that's kind of the kind of guy that I am. So, faith is a noun. Okay, so a noun is something that describes a person or thing. And it's having a confidence or trust in that person or thing. So that's a good way to consider and think about that verse of scripture in Hebrews. And then the Greek, faithfulness and steadfastness. Someone or something that you truly can depend upon. That's what it's talking about. Something or somebody. And it's a belief that is not based on proof yet. It's something like somebody tells you something and you're not going to believe it until you see the proof that the statement that they made or the thing that they're saying, that like, this book is blue. Now you can see and you go, well, no, it isn't. So you can't trust that person, right? It's like, I think about parents and raising their children, and some of the things that I've always thinking about in my own childhood and growing up, that, you know, you have, if you're not going to church and being close to people that are close to the Lord and His teachings, you're not gonna necessarily teach that there's gonna be a Santa Claus that comes in December and gives you presents. Now, in my house, my father was an agnostic, and so in the evening, he would put a table out there with some carrots and something to drink, and then in the morning we'd wake up, the carrot was chewed for the reindeer, and the cookie and the drink, the milk, was drunk. And there's our presents, okay? So what did that do with my faith? Well, I had faith that he was going to show up. He did, okay, until I got old enough. Wait a minute. Something's wrong with that picture. So what did that teach me? That I can't trust everything that anybody says. Trust, absolutely. So we have to be careful what we tell our children and not mess with their minds, because then they have doubt. When you say something to them, I'll give you another example. My uncle, I loved him dearly. He was 10 years older than me, and then when I was like 8 years old, I followed him around all over the place, you know, and he would tell me something, and I would, man, I just suck it in. Then I find out that it was not true. But then when he tried to tell me something, one time he was trying to tell me about, there's this bug that grows on a weed or whatever that has flowers, and it actually has an ant that goes up there and milks it. And I'm saying, yeah, right. But when you go into the biology, there is such a thing that actually happens between the two different animals. So you don't have trust to believe what they say, one way or the other. And that's one thing we have to be very careful about for ourselves, to be able to tell the truth, that people can depend on the truth. So that means when we're maybe repeating something that somebody else said, what are we doing? Are we telling a truth or a lie, or are we gossiping? Okay? Because it's secondhand, and you don't know necessarily if it's true. It's only true because you heard it from that person. But it may not be true, and you're now spreading that falseness among everyone. So there's lots of things that go with this that we need to consider. I have two examples of belief that is not based on proof, that they actually depended on someone and they experienced what was given to them. And you can find it in Exodus in the 14th chapter and the 29th verse. It says, "For the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea." That's when Moses parted the Red Sea. No one's ever seen that before. And where there was water, it was dry land. And they're standing on the shore going, whoa. And they had to take that first step to go down there. Because why? Because this wall of water right there, you're going, whoa, is that going to come on me? What is it going to do? But they believed them. They got on the other side, and then they saw how those who were coming after them, they got drowned. Another one, and it comes during the days of Christ, in Matthew in the 14th chapter in the 29th verse, we find that here we have these fishermen, and they've been following somebody that they were called to come follow them. Well, that was the first step of faith, wasn't it? And they found themselves on a boat going across the Sea of Galilee, and Christ went up in a mountain to pray, and they were out there, and things were going across the Sea of Galilee, and then all of a sudden they see something. And it's a person walking on water. And at first, they're thinking it's a ghost or something, you know, a spirit. But the Lord calls out, you know, don't worry, it's me. What does Peter do? Can I come? And he said, come. That's what Christ said. Okay, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on water to go to Jesus. Think about that. Have enough faith in the person that called him to step out of a boat and walk on something that you know as a fisherman that you've been around all your life. You would jump in and you would have to swim, or you're going to go to the bottom of the sea. But you find out in that story that pretty soon he got kind of scared. Oh, wait a minute, the waves are hitting up to me. And what happened? His faith waned and he started to sink, and the Lord grabbed him and brought him on board. But the point here is that he put enough trust in Christ to step out of that boat. And that's an important thought, because faith is baby steps leading to Christ throughout your life. Okay, scriptural, I've already done that one, so let's do this one. Now let's go to the next one. Okay, so here is that experiment. You remember I said it was baby steps. Here it says, awake and arouse your faculties even to an experiment. That's what the Lord is asking us. Okay, we have this records. And we hear the story of God, Elohim, the Christ, and God and the Holy Ghost. They were there. They created the heavens and earth and all things in them are. But we experience all the earth and stuff, but we've never seen anybody do something like that. And so we find in Alma in the 16th chapter, it helps us to maybe take some steps for us to start off with. And so the first one here is 151, it's Alma 16. It says, and behold, if ye will awake and arouse your faculties, even to an experiment upon my words, and exercise a particular particle, a particle of faith, yea, even if you can no more than desire to believe, let that desire work in you, even until you believe in a manner that ye can give place for a portion of my words. So he's given the people that he was speaking to, the Zoramites, Alma was, trust me, just do this experiment for me. I'm going to tell you something, and I want you to just kind of soak it in and let the truth reveal itself to you. And so when you go over to 159, 152, it says, now we will compare the word unto a seed. Now if you give place that a seed may be planted in your heart, behold, if it be a true seed or a good seed, if you do not cast it out, but by your unbelief, that you will resist the Spirit of the Lord, behold, it will begin to swell within your breasts. And that's an important aspect of this experiment, is that if you're going to allow it to come in, there is given to us the Spirit of Christ to know good and evil from our birth. It's our normal conscience, as we're told in the Scripture. Now, if you give place that the seed may be planted in your heart, behold, if it be true, the seed, or a good seed, if you do not cast it out by your own unbelief, that you will resist the Spirit of the Lord, behold, it begin to swell within your breasts. And when you feel these swelling motions, you will begin to say within yourself, it must needs be that this is a good seed, or that the word is good, for it beginneth to enlarge in your soul, meaning it is good. You can recognize it as something good. Yea, it beginneth to enlighten my understanding. Yea, it'll begin to be delicious to me. I think about the first time I can imagine the American settlers came, you know, when they came across the ocean, they're here, we find at some point in time they come across somebody that has a bag of sugar that they've never tasted before. And they say, here, this is good. Try it. Well, that doesn't look very good. Well, just try it. Take my word for it. And then they dip it in there and they taste it and they go, let me try that again. Hey, that tastes pretty good. That's what this is talking about concerning the word. Whatever is being spoken, it is good. It's something that agrees with what the person was trying to say and put forth. And when you feel these swelling motions, you will begin to say within yourself, it must be, needs be, that this is a good seed, or that word is good, for it beginneth to enlarge my soul, yea, it beginneth to enlighten my understanding, yea, and it beginneth to be delicious to me. Now behold, would not this increase your faith? Yeah, it would increase your faith in what that individual had said, and you would start to put a trust in what he says or she says, whatever it might be. And that is with the Word of God. What does Christ say? Try it. Try it. Read it. And see if it's good. Try that experiment. Let it come into your soul. The things that it teaches, it brings forth good fruit, peace in your heart and mind. And as you would continue on, I'll drop down to 159. And now behold, because ye have tried the experiment and planted the seed, and it swelleth and sprouteth and beginneth to grow, you must needs know that the seed is good. And if we drop down to 63, and now behold, after you have tasted this light, is your knowledge perfect? Behold, I say unto you, nay, neither must ye lay aside your faith, for ye have only exercised your faith to plant the seed, that you might try the experiment to know if the seed was good. It's just the beginning. But just like a little baby that gets old enough where they start to take a couple of steps, that when they start taking a couple of steps, that's about all they can do, and mom catches them, they go, wow, that's pretty good. And then pretty soon they'll take a couple of more, and then pretty more, and then pretty soon they're running all over the place grabbing stuff, you know, because they have taken those steps and have grown. And that is in your spiritual life as well. So if we go to 203, yeah, let's get over here. Yea, even that ye would have so much faith as even to plant the word in your hearts, that ye may try the experiment of its goodness. And we have beheld that the great question which is in your minds is whether the word be the Son of God, or whether there shall be no Christ. Because it teaches that there is one who came and testified that he was the Son of God, the one that Peter looked walking on the water. And Christ said, come. And Peter actually walked on the water. I don't think I've heard of anybody else have done it other than Christ and Peter. At least I don't read it in the scriptures any more than that, but there's been a lot of other good things because of faith, where men of great faith exercised their faith and caused miraculous things to happen, where we have people in this audience, and myself included, have seen people healed, have seen the dead raised. To see those things, that the power of God working through one with faith who had exercised all those things, putting their full trust on the God who created us. To trust, to begin in our youth, that's where it begins. And I use Peter, Paul, forgive me, David, in Psalms 71, 1 through 5. At the fifth verse, it says in Psalms 75, 5, for thou art my hope, O Lord, thou art my trust from my youth. Remember the story of David throughout his time when he was young, and he learned things to trust in God in the words that he had been given and read within the five books of Moses and the prophets that were there at the time. And he tried that experiment. But we also know that he was a human, and he failed. But because of the grace of God and his faith, he was lifted back up again. And he put his trust in it. In this particular period of time, he was there, you know, he was challenged by Saul trying to kill him. And he was on the run for a while. But he put his trust in God, and he didn't go beyond the bounds of the law of God. And the Lord blessed him. So, faith, we apply our faith and trust with all things in life. It's physical and spiritual, both. But it begins when we are young, as we start to experience life, like I was talking about, right? So, here we have this little guy. He's got two little things talking to him, right? We've got one side is one who is endeavoring to help him to understand the good things, and the other one trying to derail him. That's just life. And there's times when we listen to that other guy over there, and we find that it's not a very good thing to listen to, and we get ourselves in trouble. But if we listen to the other, that Spirit of the Lord, and start to put our full trust in that, we will find that we will be walking on a good path. It doesn't mean that all our ways are going to be filled with no trials and temptations or anything like that. And our own physical flesh that is, as we learn from Paul and different ones, that we're weak in the flesh. But there is a Christ that's there to pick us up if we allow him to be in our life and to help us and to overcome those things. What does the scripture say? What did Christ say? How many times should we forgive our brother? 7 times? Or 70 times 7? Meaning Christ said, no, you, if they're endeavoring to repent and they show that, you forgive them. Allow them to learn by their mistakes, as Christ has done with us. Gaining wisdom by our mistakes. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And the big one, lean not unto thine own understanding. That's when that other guy can deceive you, is when you start leaning on your own understanding and not trusting in the Lord. In Proverbs 28:26, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. And that's by listening to that other side and allowing it to work in your life and to so order your way in life, allowing those words to be an action in our life. And then Psalms 57:1, be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee, yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge unto, until there these calamities be overpassed. I have several testimonies where that very thing happened in my life. I mean, these are big, significant testimonies. I was one of those guys that listened to that other side and ran by the flesh, got myself in such a mess that I didn't know how I was going to get out of it. My whole life was falling apart. I was in the military, and I knew that I needed to come back to a roots, the belief in God, and allow him to do the driving for me. So I besought him. I prayed very earnestly that he would help me in this particular trial in my life. And I went to sleep. And in that night, I had a vision or a dream, whatever you want to call it. I saw myself. It was total black. I was laying horizontally. and I was in a very bad place. And all those things that I had chosen in my life that was not good came to my understanding. And I knew I was in big trouble, and all I could remember doing is I shouted out, "Jesus, save me." And that vision went away. The next day, I said my prayers and was going to bed, a little anxious to some point, didn't know what to expect, and guess what? I had that same dream again. But this time, it was more intense. I was there. I could see more. No one else was around. It was just me in this black, dark space, outer darkness. And I was looking, and I'm doomed. And all I could do was cry out. And I cried out, "Jesus, save me. Help me." And it disappeared. The next day, I didn't want to go to sleep. And I finally said my prayers and I went to sleep. And guess what? I had that dream one more time. And this time it was like I was in sand sinking, just there was no escape. And I felt like I was totally doomed. But all I could remember, cry out to my Savior, Jesus Christ, save me, forgive me, save me from this. And it took all my strength that was in that dream or vision. And then I was taken out of that. And when I awoke, I had total peace. And I thought the things that I was praying about, that everything was going to be all right, that I was going to have my family, my children, because I had 3 children and a wife, and everything was going to be okay. It wasn't, but he had a different plan for me. He brought me to this place here and gave me a new life. That's a very important aspect of the power of God and putting your trust in Him. I know. I was sitting right over here in this second row, and there was a minister that came up and he said, "You know, I have a sermon that I had prepared, but I've got to talk about something different." I perked my ears up. So I was listening to him, and he started to talk about if you really truly want to follow Christ and be part of Him, you've got to separate yourself from those things that will take you away from Him. Here I am. I have 9 years in the military. I've got 11 more years. I can retire. Is he talking to me? I felt the presence of the Spirit rest upon me. I said, "Lord, this is going to be hard. I've never been outside those walls. My father was career Air Force. I've always been in the military, free hospital. You just had everything there. You were protected, you know, but you went wherever they told you to go." And I said, "Okay, Lord, I will do this, but you're going to have to help me find a job. Because I've really never done that kind of thing. I had side jobs from time to time when I was in the military, but nothing that I was going to be trying to support at that time. I was going to get married." That's another story. But I said, "Okay, I'll do it, but you're going to have to help me." So a month and a half goes by, and in the time that I'm going to be signing my discharge papers, guess what? The very day that I signed my papers and I was out of the military, I got a phone call from Honeywell. And he said, come, we're gonna bring you on board. And I was with them for 25 years. That's the power of God. Listening, having faith, listening to the Spirit that leads and directs you, is what he can do for each one of you. That is truly exercising your faith. And that's how powerful that is in your life. But it starts with bitty steps. My bitty steps, I was about eight years old. And we were at my grandfather's house, and we were all sleeping in one big room on the farm, and my father went into a rage and started beating my oldest sister. And all I could remember was crying out to God, help her, Lord. Save her. And it stopped. The power of prayer. The power of prayer. Don't ever forget those things. That's why David was saying, be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Because when he was young, he did that very same thing. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. On the other side, where the blessings are. Path to righteousness, 2 Peter 1:5-8. And besides this, giving all diligence, what? Add faith, virtue. To add virtue, the practice of moral duties from sincere love to God and his laws. Knowledge, a clear and certain perception of truth and fact as you build upon that as you exercise your faith throughout your life. Temperance, patience, calmness, sedateness, moderation of passion. Now, you're looking at me and you go, Gordon, you're crazy sometimes. Yeah, I am. But I know that the Lord is still working with me, and you can ask my wife. I'm working very hard on that patience and calmness at times. What's the next one? Patience, Christian submission to divine will. Godliness, Christian obedience. Brotherly kindness, affectionate and love. There's nothing more than to go up and hug somebody, tell them I love them. That's me. Why? I guess because I didn't get it when I was little, I don't know, but I love it now. And I'm willing to hug anybody that wants to be hugged and tell them I love them. Charity. That's the thing we need to be praying about most. It's the pure love of Christ. That when he sees somebody destitute, whatever, and his love for him is no different than when he sees somebody that's following his footsteps. He loves them all because he created them. Becoming fruitful by applying our faith. 2 Peter 1:5-8. I'm going to just read 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's all those things that I had listed. It's important that Our faith is the beginning of that growth, and we have to apply those other things, which helps correct our flesh to become more perfect before God. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if ye will hear his voice, Psalms 95:7. When I came across this one, I had this little vision here. Notice he's walking in front of the sheep, and that's important because that's how they lead the sheep. The sheep always have their eyes on the shepherd, not from behind. He's leading the sheep, not the sheep leading him. Okay, so when you see these things, Christ is way in the background, the sheep's walking away. No. Christ is in the front, and where eyes are on him, and we're following him. So is it with the shepherds. And if you could see way in the back, what do you see? All the way in the back, there's something little, way in the back. Can you see it? There's just a little lamb back there, all by himself. He hasn't caught up with the group yet. Maybe he's still learning. But you could see him back there. I thought that was kind of interesting. I was looking at that. But truly, they're always in the front, and the sheep are following him. And that's what we should be doing in our life, following Christ. And Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, Hebrews 12:1-2. Forgot to write it in there, so we'll just go over there to Hebrews and I'll read it to you, unless somebody wants to read it for me. Hebrews 7:8-11, 12:1-2. Wherefore, seeing we all also are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy, and this is important, for the joy that was set before him, think about it, joy, endureth the cross with joy, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We know that physical struggle that he went through when we read the scriptures and the account. But in him, what kept him on point was that he was taking all our sins, that there might be grace, that we might be able to be raised up with him if we would follow him. A way out. If you've got time, this is a good prayer, our closet prayer. This is David being persecuted by Saul. It's a very good psalm to read. I appreciate the psalms. I made my testimony the other night concerning the psalms because the character of David, where he was not perfect and the flesh sometimes overcame him, but he was able to overcome those things by keeping his focus upon his God. And he was rewarded for that. Nephi teaching his brethren, this is 1 Nephi 7:54-61. He was reading from the plates of brass. This is according to the words of the prophet, and the time cometh speedily that the righteous must be led up as calves of the stall, and the Holy One of Israel must reign in dominion, might, and power, and great glory. Why have I got this in here? What was it? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Have you seen this? The Holy One of Israel must reign in dominion, might, power, and great glory. And that we were all going to be led to this place. And we were all going to be together at some point in time. Do you believe it? Is that in your heart and mind as you serve God? That's the promise. We've never seen anything like that, other than maybe in a small way here, where we build our homes together and we worship together and we fellowship together. But this is on a large scale. This means our Filipinos, Africans, Mexicans, whoever, all of them that come from all different areas, we will all be together with one voice and one tongue. And he gathereth his children from the four quarters of the earth, and he numbereth his sheep, and they know him, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. This are the promises of Christ to those who will follow him. And we've never seen anything like this. But it's there. Do you believe it? And he shall feed his sheep. No different. Everything. And in him they shall find pasture. And because of the righteousness of his people, Satan hath no power. Wherefore he cannot be loosed for the space of many years. There's no room for him. But that's something to come. And I hope and pray that that's part of your understanding and your desire. There's that shepherd climbing the hill with the sheep following him. That's a picture that should be us. We should see ourselves in one of those sheep following Christ. Now, I'm going to show you some people that have faith. Look at that. This is in the Philippines. See, I see their books on this little bench and mud all over, but they've come to worship their God. Boy, that's a pretty messy mess. What would we have done? We say, come on, it's time to go worship God. And this is what we faced. Would we come? Would you see yourself there with your shoes off, standing in the mud, desiring to worship God? And us servants, would you be out there doing what George is doing? Being a shepherd, leading his people, and feeding them the word of God. And with joy, they do this. They sing songs and praises to God because they love him and desire to be close to him. That's their life. I hope and pray it'll be our life as well. May God bless us. Faith is deeper than what we thought, and we've got a lot of room to grow. May God be with us, is my prayer.